'cause all you people are vampires, and all your stories are stale. And though you pretend to stand by it, I know you're certain we'll fail.
Hello, it's Joanne Staffnell here from Triton Legal. I don't know if you saw the horror film called Let the Right One In, released a few years ago, but for those of you who were too busy watching rom-coms, the film was about a vampire who looked like a sweet girl, so the unsuspecting victims let her get close with terrifying consequences. And in many ways, the horror of finding yourself at the mercy of a blood-sucking monster hell-bent on the destruction of all you hold dear reminds me of the problems that modern law firms face when they take on new clients. Now, that might sound a bit melodramatic, but my colleagues and I have consistently found that the most difficult, expensive, complex, and reputationally damaging claims come from clients that the firm really shouldn't have taken on in the first place. For those of you who like particularly scurrilous examples, I hope this one doesn't disappoint. This is a true story, but I've changed the names and a couple of other details to spare the blushes of the firm involved. The firm was well known and was quite famous for its work for various high-profile clients over the years. One partner with an impeccable record, let's call him Nelson, was introduced to a new client who I will call Flash Harry. Now, Flash Harry was purportedly a multi-millionaire entrepreneur who knew a number of celebrities and senior banking people. He introduced some of them to Nelson, who was obviously impressed. Flash Harry then instructed Nelson and his firm to act on the acquisition of an overseas property development for several million euros, to be provided by short-term finance from a lending bank. The security was supposed to be long-term deposits held in an overseas bank. Flash Harry would not allow any direct contact with that overseas bank, but he showed Nelson a signed letter from that bank on its headed paper confirming the existence of the deposits and saying that they were free of encumbrances. The lender bank also saw the overseas bank's letter, but still asked for permission to verify the position directly with them. Flash Harry refused, and the lender quite reasonably said that it wouldn't proceed without independent verification that deposits in the overseas banks existed. Now, any honest businessman would have said okay and let the lender get in touch with the overseas bank. Instead, Flash Harry asked Nelson if his firm would provide an undertaking to the lender to confirm the existence of the overseas deposits. Nelson claims that he spoke with somebody at the overseas bank who verified the deposits. On the strength of that call, Nelson drafted an undertaking on behalf of his firm, guaranteeing the existence of the overseas deposits. And in reliance on that, the lender went ahead with a multi-million euro loan to Flash Harry. For various reasons, some of the loan was remitted to the firm's client account. It was only following a standard client account reconciliation exercise that this irregular transfer came to light and the whole matter began to unravel. It turned out that the overseas bank's letter of verification of Flash Harry's deposits was a forgery. And, of course, Flash Harry was, in fact, a worthless confidence trickster who by then had disappeared. Despite the fraud, the firm had to honour the undertaking to the lender. And in turn, the firm's professional indemnity insurers had to indemnify the firm. Nelson stuck by his story that he believed he had spoken with the overseas bank, but said that Flash Harry must have conned him by using an accomplice to pose as the overseas bank. Well, the serious fraud squad and the jury didn't believe him either, and he was convicted of fraud offences and imprisoned. Now, obviously, this case escalated into an extremely serious fraud, and thankfully such cases are relatively rare. But it does serve as a stark reminder of the importance of being selective when accepting new clients, or indeed, when accepting new instructions from existing clients. It seems that in this case, Nelson was rather dazzled by Flash Harry's purportedly glamorous life and high-profile connections. No doubt he anticipated that Flash Harry would be the sort of contact who could provide a lot of valuable instructions to the firm. And with that in mind, it's not too difficult to see how Nelson got drawn further and further into helping him with his scam, and how he could apparently have turned a blind eye to so many red flags. If Nelson had kept his wits about him from the outset, and really made sure that he had satisfactory answers to the basic know your client type checks and a proper understanding of what the purported deal was about, he could have saved himself a lot of trouble and a jail sentence. Similarly, if the firm had implemented good systems to make sure that client acceptances were vetted by an independent colleague or committee, things might have been very different. Even if Nelson had had the wool pulled over his eyes by Flash Harry, somebody who is not under his influence could have spotted the red flags and vetoed him as a client. Now, as I say, this is a really extreme example, but the same applies to more day-to-day matters. As we all know, it is a really competitive market out there for law firms against the backdrop of a rather uncertain financial climate. There will always be a strong temptation to take on any client who comes to you, or perhaps even to ignore conflicts of interest. But remember that good returns come from quality clients, not necessarily quantity of clients. Bad clients cost your firm money in every sense. They take up time that could have been spent servicing a better client. They often refuse to pay your bills or try to negotiate them down. They raise more complaints and claims, which can lead to further losses by having to pay compensation. All of this highlights the importance of being discerning when accepting new instructions. Let the right one in. The matters discussed in this podcast should not be applied to any particular set of facts without seeking legal advice. This podcast was recorded at Alaska Studios, London.